A John Pertwee B-side. Where else would you get that but on BBC local radio?
Then Thaithnell.
Yes, indeed. BBC Tees with me, Bob Fisher. We have got Neil and Sue Perryman and John Williams from the Tachyon TV website in the studio. Should we talk about adventures with the wife in space first?
Yeah.
Should we do that?
Go on, then.
Want to sit this out, John? You go for a pint if you like. Come back.
Oh, stop. It makes me feel like you're going, or...
Well, you came in, it's about 6 months ago now, something
yeah,
like that.
It's about 6 months, yeah.
Yeah, about that, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And you have been watching Doctor Who from the start, from 1963 onwards. not since 1963.
No, it feels like
it just
that.
Feels like, yeah.
Yes, yeah. But you're obviously a big fan, Neil. Sue, you're not particularly.
Not really.
How did this start? Remind us.
Neil just thought it would be a real good idea to sit down together at tea time usually, and we'll watch one, and he just basically get my comments and my views on it. And it just sort of escalated from there, really. And I agreed to do it because I just thought we'd probably spend a bit of time together, and it just seemed to be okay.
So you do one episode a day, is that right?
Usually
one or two.
We're supposed to do one a day, but sometimes if we miss one, we have to do two a day, and that can be, you know, a bit bad sometimes, but we're getting through it.
It was actually all based on a conversation I had that I was involved in, which I remember, actually.
So was it your fault, John?
I think there are some copyright implications.
It was going to be me and you doing it, John, wasn't it?
Really?
Well, it was also because, just to digress slightly, it was because famous Doctor Who archivist, famous in the Doctor Who world anyway, Andrew Pixley, I'd had a conversation with him where he said exactly that him and his wife, both Doctor Who fans, watched it all again from scratch.
Right.
Over their tea. When they were having their tea.
That's true.
And then next thing I knew, Neil
stole it.
Come on. There was no way in a million years my partner would have had anything to do with this. Part of anything else, you would have just been asleep after a minute of each episode.
Right.
That's the thing I'm most astonished by.
Yeah. So how far have you got now? Which episode are you up to?
Go on, sir.
I don't know what number we're on, but we're on the Curse of Peladon.
Yes, well done.
But I don't know where that is in the sequence.
So it's kind of halfway through the John Pertwee years, isn't it? That's, yeah.
Neil,
oh, you're not halfway through the whole run.
No.
Don't get excited.
Really?
You're probably not far off.
Not far.
Neil tells me we're 300.
It's our 300th episode tonight that we'll be watching.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So you're going to go back after this and watch The Curse of Peladon episode
4?
Apparently so.
You are.
Right.
I had other things planned, but if that's what you want to know.
It's true, isn't it? I mean, I'm going back there, but I'm not going to stay and watch because you tried that with someone else, didn't you? And it's something felt wrong.
It's not right when you've got someone sitting there watching you.
But you have had other people there, haven't you?
Family members.
I say your brother Gary has seen
Steady.
What do you mean?
Oh, steady.
he's not a fan, is he?
Well, I think he probably saw more of them than I did when I was a kid, because obviously he's slightly older. But apparently the fans don't like him very much. I mean, I don't read the blog. I keep away from it.
This is the funny thing about it, is that you don't actually, because it's Neil writes it up, and it's all your comments about the episodes, which you're seeing for the first time, but you've never read it, have you?
It's the comments, you know.
Yeah, the comments, yeah. I occasionally sort of have a little sneaky sort of look, but I always feel as though if I see something that I read and I think, well, that might sort of sway my decision about the next episode or what's coming up, I try and keep away from it because I think it might just sort of influence me too much. A bit like you, Bob, when you sort of, on your Facebook, you know, if you had loads of people saying, Bobby playing too much Backbone Turner Overdrive, you'd think twice. You'd think twice. Would you before you put anything, nothing on again, wouldn't you?
No, he's straight on with it. I tried to antagonise them even further. So you haven't kind of looked at
what people are saying about you.
I protect her.
He protects me.
Mm. Are you bothered?
Not really.
You don't care what Doctor Who fans think.
No, I care what Neil thinks, but I don't really care. I care about the site, and I care about Neil thinks, but I don't really... I care, because I obviously want people to sort of enjoy the site.
Yeah.
And as long as they're getting some enjoyment from it, out of the 10 people that read it, then that's fine, you know? I think there's probably about 10, 15 people
read
it.
A little bit more than 10.
It has 10 households.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are household names in very select households. No, it has gone a bit mad this year, though, hasn't it? Because remember when you came in last time, Stephen Moffat, currently in charge of Doctor Who, had been reading it and tweeting you about it.
I don't know if he still is. It's hard to say. He hasn't tweeted to say he hasn't been reading it.
I would therefore take it as read that he has.
Yeah, exactly. He's a busy man, though. He's got a lot on, apparently.
Leave them off. He's busy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't like being called the Moffat.
Does he not?
No.
Oh, okay. Does he not? Right.
No, how do you know?
He tweeted it.
Really? Yeah, what did he say?
He just said, I hate being called the Moff.
I'll stop it then.
Yes, exactly.
I think it was more that people, there was a legend going around that he calls himself the Moff.
Yeah.
And he absolutely refutes that, because that would be a bit like the Fonz, wouldn't it? And things like that.
It's like Paul Ince calling himself the Governor.
Yeah.
Call me the Governor, everybody. Yeah. No.
He actually calls himself the Grand Moff.
Yes. Yes, he wouldn't sell himself short, would he, if he was going to do this? So are you enjoying the Pertwee era so far, then?
I did at first. The first few I loved. I thought they were great.
Yeah.
And then sort of went downhill a little bit. And it's starting to pick up a little bit, but this one we're on now, I'm struggling a little bit with it. It's okay, you know. I just have to sort of get through them, Bob, you know. I just can see the light at the end of the tunnel. And I just have to get through it.
Got a very powerful pair of binoculars, then.
It's like community service.
It's a long way.
Some of them I enjoy, obviously, a lot better than others.
Because you have given... You give each story a mark out of 10 at the end.
I do.
And some of them you've been hugely fond of.
I have, yeah. Don't ask me what they are, because I forgot.
Neil will know.
Well, you gave Day of the Daleks 9 out of 10.
Yeah, and I gave one 10 out of 10 not long ago.
Spear from Space,
that was good. So, yeah, some of them I'm really enjoying, and some of them I just want to switch off. I guess that's normal.
Which have been the ones that you've really struggled with so far?
Oh, which one have I struggled with?
Anything that's 6 parts.
Yeah, anything over 4 parts, I seem to sort of, you know, my attention span sort of goes.
Yeah.
4 parts is ideal.
Yeah.
Colour, moving, vid-fired, that's great. I can cope with those.
Vid-fired! We've won.
Oh, well, yeah, but I should know that because it's my job.
You can't get the capitalisation right there, can you?
Vid-fired.
Yeah, okay.
See what I've got to put up with, Bob.
Should we explain to people what vid-fired is, or should we let them look it up?
Yeah, come on, Sue. Explain
to
us what vid-fired means.
It means that the video's been treated to its best potential, basically, so we can enjoy it as much as what we could have when it first came out.
That's near enough, I think, isn't it?
I don't want it.
Yeah.
I think what's interesting about the marks you've given is that, on the whole, they're pretty much in line with what fandom is generally appreciated. Mm. I mean, there's always people who go, oh no, just because you hate that one, I love this one. Mm. It's fantastic. But I think the worst one you gave was probably something like the Space Pirates, one of the late Patrick Trout ones, which is, by anybody's margin, not very good. You gave that 1 out of 10, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
Lowest you could get. Most of the ones you're giving the lowest marks to, I think there's only been a couple that have been anyway out of whack with generally received opinion, which in itself is interesting.
Yeah.
But it's just when you... There was an interesting argument I saw somewhere about if something gets 6 out of 10, that's a terrible score. How on earth could you give 6 out of 10? But of course, that's above
average.
Yeah.
And lots of Doctor Who stories are very average, let's face it, in some ways. So that's actually some people perceiving that 6 out of 10 is a terrible score.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you plot the graph, as I'm sure people are doing. In fact, they are.
I've seen graphs.
Yes, have you really?
Graphs, yeah.
Pie charts, graphs.
Honestly.
Yeah. I haven't shown Sue these for obvious reasons.
Have you shown Sue the song?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I see the song.
Well, we had to show the song when the police came to take the statement.
Somebody actually did an Adventures with the Wife in Space song, put it on YouTube.
They did. Yeah. I was there. When Neil first, he said, come here, have a look at this. I thought, what the hell is this? And I watched it. And then I seen my face. I just nearly died. But it's all in good fun, and that person took some time out, and that good on him. No, thank you for doing that.
You weren't remotely scared or disturbed by it?
Not initially. but when Neil told me I should be, maybe.
Yeah. I was disturbed.
Yeah, I think my friends...
But then I think I picked up on the fact that it may... We came on the down that we thought it was a joke. But it was just a touching of Sue's face, the blown-up photo of her face, was quite disturbing.
Could have been worse.
Yeah, and the bits that Neil edited out so you didn't get to see them were even worse.
Has it been, obviously you two are long-term fans, has it been refreshing to read the opinions and hear the opinions of someone who isn't a fan and comes to the stories with no preconceptions whatsoever about them?
Yeah, it's sort of exciting for me to, like, when I know something particularly good's coming up or something particularly bad's coming up, I get a bit of a thrill from, like, for example, when Alpha Centauri turns up. I'm really excited to see what Sue's going to make of her.
Who's a kind of squeaky character in The Curse of Peladon, which
you're
watching.
Yes, one of your favourite characters.
Yeah. Am I allowed to say this word?
Yes, I think so.
Giant penis in a shower curtain. Am I allowed to say that?
You've already said it.
I'm going to clip that one sentence and use that on the programme again and again. I might just play it off the back of Trails and Records without explanation.
No, sorry, but that's what it looks like, isn't it?
That is what it looks like. Exactly what it looks like.
It's this colour green, I'm back.
Do you want to give the website a plug? Because it's moved to a new dedicated site, hasn't it, recently?
It's yes, all it, yes, it
I'm
has.
All left on my own on the techie side.
Yoko made me move it.
She's splitting up the band.
No!
So it's its own dedicated place now. It's called wifeinspace.com.
You can join in if you see fit.
Come on and call Sue a moron for not liking the demons.
Did somebody do that?
Yes.
Did they really?
Not that I'm upset about it or anything.
Well, did somebody actually post that on the site?
No, somewhere else, but, you know, it hurts.
All right, on a fan site, I guess.
Gallifrey base.
But you know what?
Is that a real vitriol?
You're using
it. Does it? Are you upset by stuff that you see written about?
Well, moron's a bit of a strong word, isn't it? You know?
It is a strong word.
You know.
So, Sue, what did demons get?
4 out of 10.
Yeah.
It's not that bad, is it?
It could be worse, you know.
Mm. Just nearly average.
Yeah. Well, you know. But I'm glad to see that you're taking it well.
Yes. Water off a duck's back.
You're using the medium of regional radio to get back
to get
at some
back,
unidentified individual on the Doctor Who forum.
Who is it?
I don't know.
It's probably somebody called the Agdor or somebody.
The Agdor, if you're out there and listening to this, Neil is he's going to get you. He is going to get you. This is new from Jeb Loy Nichols, and it's from an album called The Jeb Loy Nichols Special. It's not due out until March, but I like this enormously, so I'm going to play it. It's called Different Ways for Different Days. BBC Tees, Bob Fisher here. We are on 95FM, DAB, and online, bbc.co.uk/tees. Got Neil and Sue Perryman and John Williams here from the Tachyon TV Doctor Who website. Hello to Blue John, who's posted on the Facebook Club wall and says, do you think tonight is the first time that anybody has ever uttered the phrase, much vaunted Fraser Hines B-side? I'd find that very hard to believe, wouldn't you? Surely that must have been said before.
Maybe the last time we were on.
That's probably quite likely, isn't it? We were talking about Adventures with the Wife in Space, which is Sue's quest to watch all of Doctor Who from the start. Because these episodes don't exist. You've had to watch them through reconstructions that fans have made. Kind of still pictures linked together with audio and stuff like that.
Stupid, isn't it? It's insane. What was I thinking?
Well, that's all behind you now. All the episodes exist now.
Yeah, and they keep finding them as well.
The two episodes did turn up last week. Yeah. Are you going to go back and watch them?
I think we should.
Wow, really?
Yeah, I think we should.
If you were going to ask me, which one of you two would have said that?
No, and I'll tell you why, Bob. I think we should go back and I think we should review it and we should sort of just do a comparison as to sort of, you know, whether the score will be the same or not, if it was, you know, not a recon or a proper episode.
I think that's an interesting idea to do, particularly because I saw one of the full stories, The Underwater Menace Part 3, at the National Film Theatre the other day, when it was premiered after being found, and it completely changed my view on The Underwater Menace, which is fair to say was very, very low in the esteem of most people who have watched any Doctor. It's a 2 out of 10 from Sue.
Right.
It's a famously bad episode, Underwater Menace Episode 3. And even though the soundtrack existed of episode 2, you just don't get the performances, you don't get the little kind of quirks, and Patrick Troughton's really very good in it. It's much more downbeat and less serious, mainly because it doesn't have a load of fish people dancing around in a strange mock underwater ballet.
Does it not?
No. Unfortunately, it doesn't have that, but it seems a lot grittier, even with a particularly ripe performance from the chief villain.
Yeah.
All of it seems very different from the episode 3, so it's a great example of, even though it exists, even though the soundtrack exists, you can't really get the full flavour of it. And even the bit of the William Hartnell one they showed was very, very similar. The performances, the main villain in that sounds bored on the soundtrack doing this long piece, and on the actual direction, which is directed by a guy called Derek Martinez, who I remember Sue particularly liked, you said he could come back, and no, he never did after you said that. Unfortunately, the last one he did was Spearhead from Space. But the direction is very interesting, and she gives a very intense performance directly into the camera and completely changes it. So, and of course, there's a reel. The monster that for years no one had ever seen.
Yeah. This is a curious thing, isn't it? Because there weren't even any pictures of a rill anywhere.
Until very recently, I think someone found one in about 18 months or so.
What are they like, John?
They're absolutely rilling.
So, in your opinion,
Fraser Hines beat Simon. Fraser Hines beat
the only way is up. The only way is up. No, they will. It's great. That adventure starts, and you get a big close up of a reel, and right. It's genuinely a great moment. There was almost a suppressed cheer around the audience, but
a suppressed cheer.
Yeah.
Sue, have you surprised yourself with how much Doctor Who knowledge you've picked up over the last year? Because you say, for somebody who was a complete non-fan previously to suddenly be citing Derek Martinez as one of their favourite directors.
It's sad, isn't it?
A bit of a leap.
It's sad. Do you know what it is, Bob? My memory is so bad. What happens is I watch it and I enjoy it and I can comment on it and I can take it all in and get it. Hmm. But 2 weeks later, I forgot what I've seen.
Right.
Now, I don't know whether that's me being, like, just having a bad memory or me just not really caring about the programme. I don't know. I haven't decided yet. Mm. I don't care, obviously. I care about the new stuff. But I just don't know whether I have enough in my head to sort of want to remember the amount of information that used to... you know, are obsessed with.
I don't know if that's a male thing, to be honest, is it? Was they're kind of making lists?
I'm sure there's female Doctor Who fans there who were just like these
Well,
two.
That's a matter of opinion.
They even look like these two, sorry. No, but...
I've met lots of female Doctor Who fans, but I tend to find it's the men that like cataloguing things and knowing the ins and outs of, like, you know, cast and crew.
It's like even names of the episodes I forget. And I think to myself, why am I not remembering those important things? And it's probably just because I have better things and the more important things to fill my mind up
better
with.
Better things.
So it's because you have a life.
Yeah.
And early onset of Alzheimer's.
Yeah, maybe.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Yeah. Oh, ho, ho. I don't know. It's strange. It's just people... Yeah, I think some of the Mouth fans just have a particular type of memory. Even if you don't try and actively learn it, I remembered your comments about Derek Martinez.
Is he? Yeah.
And you gave 10 out of 10 for Spearhead from Space. I don't... Yeah. It's kind
I forgot that and I said it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
but you can spot Douglas Camfield's story.
Yeah. See, things are important.
Now there is a director.
Things that I enjoy and things that are important to me, then obviously I'll remember them. Mm. Well, like our wedding anniversary.
Which episode did you watch on your wedding anniversary?
Galaxy 4.
Funny enough. How appropriate, where all the women are evil monsters who have taken over a planet.
I timed it specifically.
All right, I'm going to play another track and then we'll come back and we'll talk some more. This isn't a Fraser Hines B-side, but we are slowly... All right. It is pantomime scene. We are slowly working our way towards that. BBC Tees with me, Bob Fisher. We are on 95FM DAB online, bbc.co.uk/Tees. You know what terrible thought has just struck me? It's not the 30th anniversary of the final episode of Blake 7 being shown, is it?
Is it?
It's not, just not. I think it was the 21st.
That's tomorrow.
Yes, that's tomorrow.
1981.
Yeah, because we were here last time. Yes, that makes
sad
sense.
Sad lot.
It was a big year, 1981.
It was, wasn't it? Yeah, it was. Doctor Who regeneration.
Through the roof, didn't they, after...
the letters in the Radio Times. I think we talked about it last time, didn't we?
Yeah, Blake 7 Christmas special.
Yeah, I was...
Everybody dies.
Everybody dies.
Everybody dies. Every single person dies.
Letters in the Radio Times. I've just been made unemployed, and the last thing I want to say, I want to get a bit of enjoyment from Blake 7, and everyone dies.
The enjoyable escape.
The creak of ropes with bodies hanging from them around the country after that episode went out.
Are you going to watch all of Blake 7 from the start, do you think, at any point?
That's the sequel, yeah. Adventures with the Wife and Blake.
Oh!
It's already copyrighted.
He's pimping me out, isn't he?
I bet. Do you know what? I bet he's bought the website domain as well, hasn't he?
Yeah. I didn't say it was... I said it was a wife, I didn't say which wife.
Adventures with the new wife in space.
That's
that'd
right.
be good.
Yes.
You could just keep this going.
New younger wife
in space. You could just keep this going, couldn't you?
You'll never find a second consecutive woman that's willing to do this.
It could be worse, sir. It could be Babylon 5.
I like Babylon 5.
Oh, well, dear.
Yeah.
Really?
I've never seen Babylon 5, is it?
I like Babylon 5.
Is it?
Watch it with Sue.
Yeah,
should we do our own blog?
Bob and Babylon?
Babylon 5.
Babylon 5.
Registered that domain as soon as we get out of it.
It's ours.
How much of it is there? Is there lots of it?
Five series, 110 episodes.
Enough.
Plus specials
and spin-offs. It's all in colour and it all moves.
It's all in colour.
And it moves. Fantastic.
We'll have no bother, Bob.
I've heard that in a Soho nightclub once, I think.
100 and how many episodes?
110.
110. Right, all right. 1 a week, 2 years. There we go. Fantastic. I'm game. Should we play a Fraser Hines B-side?
Oh, yes,
let's do it.
Then we'll talk about the new series.
Yeah.
This is the B-side of Who's Doctor Who, which was Fraser Hines' 1968 single. That is a Fraser Hines B-side. How exciting. And we've got Jelly Babies out now. It's just, it's pure Doctor Who nostalgia. Where does Matt Smith stand in the kind of ratings of the Doctors that you've seen so far?
In terms of, I think he's a fantastic actor. Mm. He's really fantastic. I never thought, when I first seen him, I thought, oh, he's too young, he won't be able to hold it. But honestly, I think he just blows most of the Doctors off the stage, really.
He doesn't feel like a young actor, I don't think, when you see him on screen,
he's
does
amazing.
He? He's got a very mature quality to him.
Yeah, I mean, I like David Tennant, don't get me wrong. Mm. I think David Tennant's good, but I've got to say, Matt Smith, sort of, you know, he's just a much better actor, and I don't know whether I can say that, but...
Of course you can say exactly.
But I think he's just superb.
You've said giant penis in a shower curtain tonight. You can say that Matt Smith's a good actor. That's fine.
Once is okay, Bob, but twice isn't acceptable.
That's your fault, Bob. You know, you've got an excuse, I didn't...
If you say it a third time, the security guards are sweeping in through the window. It's a nightmare.
I was intrigued because you've... seen all of Patrick Troughton's existing episodes now, and Matt Smith, I think, is a huge Troughton fan. And
you can see it.
I was going to say, can you spot the influence?
Yeah, occasionally
there?
You can sort of just see it. You can sort of see his mannerisms. He's a bit, you know, a bit like. Bit like this. I don't know. I'm not radio, but I'm sort of he's
you
a bit. What's the word I'm looking for? A bit.
Unpredictable.
Yeah, he's
mischievous.
Funny. He's mischievous. Yeah. He's scruffy looking and a bit, you know, ragged around the edges, but really, really good.
The thing that was really noticeable about that recovered episode, The Underwater Menace 2, which has just been shown, was that you can so see, even though Matt Smith's obviously not seen it, or he might have done that for all I know, but it really, really similar. Very modern performance from Troughton in it, just because of the fact that Matt Smith's doing all that kind of stuff. It was really striking. Some of the little ticks and verbal things and little hand actions that were great.
He's
that
definitely taken
weird,
a lot
it?
From. So you said ticks and hand actions.
Yeah, I did.
It's getting better and better.
Compliance is screaming.
Yeah, and plus
it's all right for a live programme, you don't have to bother.
Well sorted. Well, can we say, right then? But he's also easy on the eyes, isn't he, Matt Smith? You know, compared to, you know, most of them. No, it's not shallow. You know, he's easy on the eyes. So I can imagine, I can see how a lot of people like him. Especially the female audience.
I was because I had, you know, I say I know a lot of female fans, and they were very keen on David Tennant, and not so keen when Matt Smith.
No,
appeared,
you know,
which is best?
What are you trying to
There's
say?
There's only one way to find out.
You're not going to kick either of them out of bed for eating crackers, are you?
No.
I would kick both of them out of bed for eating crackers. It's disgusting. This is Little Barry from an album called King of Waves, which is out now. This is Surf Hell. We are talking about Doctor Who tonight. Got Neil and Sue Perryman from Adventures with the Wife in Space. Do you want to plug the website again?
Yeah, wifeinspace.com.
Simple as that. Mm. All right, so you're watching Doctor Who from the start with Sue, who's not a fan at all. Well, do you think you ever will be?
I'll certainly have a much more appreciation for it than I have when I started, obviously.
Yeah.
And and the more you see, the more you appreciate. So I can see myself turn to a little bit of a fan, but never to the extent that I would remember the amount of detail that what I would call, you know, specialist fans would sort of hold in their brains.
You would never set up a website dedicated to it or anything like that.
No.
Nothing as mad as that.
Yeah, madness lies.
You had a cat called Gallifrey, I just want to point that out.
Yeah, but you named that cat.
You went along with it.
What are your pets called again? You've got a dog called Buffy, haven't you?
Yeah, we've got a dog called Buffy, we've got cats called Jack, Rose and Tegan. And we have some wild cats which are called Blake, Avon, Villa... Serverland, and we've got a hedgehog called Aurak.
There are.
Did you keep him in a little tank?
There are so many animals. We were just talking about the fact that he's going to start running out of names. You know it's bad when one of them's called Tarrant.
Chris Tarrant.
Have you got any pets, John?
Yes, I've got two, but they have no relation to anything to do with sci-fi whatsoever.
Right.
Because he's got a normal wife.
This is BBC Tees with me, Bob Fisher. I've been talking about Doctor Who tonight. We have Neil Perryman and John Williams from the Tachyon TV website here in the studio. We sent Sue out to make the tea. This is bad, really, isn't it?
That's pretty bad.
It is bad.
Pretty bad.
But it was you that did it.
She offered. It is a little bit like the way that the first Doctor in the Five Doctors sends Tegan out to make a... basically, like quite a nice-looking buffet in the TARDIS.
It's delightful. Pineapple.
There is
small
a pineapple
sandwiches.
There. That's right. Yes.
Yeah. Strange fruit cocktails, which I imagine aren't alcoholic, but then judging by Herndon's performance, possibly they were.
So the Christmas special coming up, which is called "The Doctor, the Widow, and the Wardrobe." Yes. Is that right?
Pretty
that
much
in the right
it.
Order.
Yeah. It's terrible to say that. I can't even remember what the title is. I think it's something like that. Yeah, all I know is it's because it's based. It's based on Lion, the Witch, and
is
the
it?
Wardrobe. Yes, apparently. I just thought I'd let you know that.
Who'd have thought it?
Yeah,
the story is actually more like A Horse and His Boy.
Okay.
In that room.
C.S. Lewis died the day before Doctor Who started.
He did. He killed Aldous Huxley.
Right? Yeah, 22nd, right? Same day as Kennedy.
Yep, C.S. Lewis and Huxley were wrestling.
Sue's waiting outside
in Dallas.
The door with the tea.
John, let Sue in. There she comes.
Protocol.
Here we go.
Oh, it's all right. You could have come in with the light on. I don't mind. Tea's up, everybody. Thanks very much.
That's all right. Sorry, it's not as good as Tegan's buffet, but there you go.
Forget that people can hear this. It's on the radio. People are listening. It's based on the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and the second Christmas special running that's been based on a work of literature, because last year's was Christmas Carol, wasn't it?
Was it? Was.
What about this film that seems to have been doing the rounds recently?
I get sort of nostalgic, really. I just get a bit disappointed that Dudley Moore's not up for the role, because that used to be the classic, didn't it, that we'd always have?
Michael Crawford.
Eric Idle.
Mm-hmm. Donald Sutherland.
Yes. Yeah.
Now it's Kiefer Sutherland now.
That's right, yeah. Leonard Nimoy at one point, yes. I think.
I like the idea of the Doctor as Jack Bauer. Torturing aliens. Torturing Santorans.
Well, that was...
Sticking his finger in their prey.
Yeah, ends just a little bit at a time.
Just to point out, it was Neil that said the phrase, sticking his finger in their probing. Event.
I always knew.
I mean, I don't care what you get up to behind closed doors. Should we play the Go-Go's? I'm going to spend my Christmas with a darling.
Yeah, as long as you turn it down.
Tell the listeners where you played that, John.
It was Sunset Boulevard in a hired car that we had as we were driving along. The only thing we knew was that no other person in a car on Sunset Boulevard was playing that song.
Or has ever played that
or has
song.
Has ever played that song, possibly.
Was it an open-top car? Could you blast it out to the good people of Los Angeles?
No, sadly it wasn't. That would have been... Even I would have drawn the line there, I think.
Would
possibly.
You right? Really?
Yeah, as soon as we'd have pulled back the top, we'd have been listening to Public Enemy.
Well, not Public Enemy, they're East Coast, aren't they?
Oh, I've just been asking for trouble. Come on.
I'll be a bit of Public Enemy.
Just put the theme from Budgie on instead.
That placates everyone.
Hello to Dr. Giles Parcel, who has texted in and says, any Doctor Who film should be a version of Doctor Who and the Star Beast.
Oh, my word.
There you go, you see.
It's a comic, isn't it?
Beep
it
the
is.
Meep. Mm. Or Meep the Beep.
Yeah. Beep the Meep, isn't it? Yeah, 1970s Doctor Who comic strip.
Very good.
Mm. Very good, though, yeah, absolutely.
Mm. Are they the Dave Gibbons?
I think it is, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's
Dave Gibbons, isn't it?
Yeah, very good. Very enjoyable.
Mm. Yeah.
Last thing about Doctor Who Weekly.
Few specials listening tonight, then.
Oh, yes, they're out there.
I'm making you read those comics.
Is that the next project?
No.
I've been reading them all recently. Really? They're out in handy... Well, they're out in kind of compilation books now, but I think you should make Sue read them from the original
comics,
comic strips, yeah.
But they don't have the backup strips in Doctor Who Weekly, do they? They were particularly good, those little ones at the back, with Croton the Cyberman.
They were good.
Black Legacy.
Yeah.
That's good.
Hang on, give that a miss.
Isn't Black Legacy a Public Enemy?
It is, actually. That's right. That's
right. It's definitely one on something like that.
Yeah, boy.
That's right. And Business as Usual is an NWA album.
Yeah. Right, let's do Uncle Harry's archives. Uncle Harry is, of course, a treasured contributor to this drivel, and we love him. And we play a couple of tracks from his extraordinary collection of music. Uncle Harry's archives. First of all, Procol Harum and A Salty Dog, and then that's Cat Stevens and Portobello Road, which is the B-side of I Love My Dog from 1966. BBC T's Bob Fisher here. We've got a couple of texts and emails and things to catch up with here. Did you mention C.S. Lewis died on the day before Doctor Who started?
Yes.
Hello to Darren, who says Aldous Huxley died on that day as well. Yes.
I mentioned it, but he got lost in the melee. I think they were wrestling to keep each other next to a fiery pit, and they both killed each other.
there.
He's on top of a waterfall. hello to Dan as well, who says, I have been waiting decades to hear this song. Can you guess which one he's referring to?
I'm going to spend my Christmas with a Dalek.
Correct.
Oh, God.
Yes.
Poor devil.
I know, yes. And hello as well, too. Oh, we had another one from Dr. Parcel, which seems to have vanished now. There it is. The Go-Go's remind me of the Crankies, and their interest in the big red Dalek toe sits uneasily.
Are you sure it went on air?
It's been some interesting Crankies revelations this week, hasn't it? Well, what a shame. It's 3 minutes. Hey, look, great to see you all. Thanks so much for coming in.
Lovely to be
Thanks,
here.
Bob. Thanks, Bob.
Great stuff. Neil, Sue, John, have a lovely Christmas.
Thank you.
And you too, Bob. Speak to you soon, no doubt. Thank you very much.